Being a child of God must have the character of God in what we do. So many people put what they do, and yet they don't have the character. Does that make sense? I can go build houses for humanity. I can go work at the food bank. I can go do all of those things. But if I don't have the character, it falls short of God's glory. Does that make sense? So in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to start out in verse 32, I think. I'm going to change it just a little bit this morning. It says, "If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, and does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." So again, understand with what we do and how we act, it's not with human motives. Human motives are selfish, self-serving. Does that make sense? We're after one thing, and that's to help ourselves, help our families, those that we love. When we learned last week that, you know, it's those enemies that are in our lives that we should be praying for. Those are the ones that we should love, not just those that love us. It says, "Do not be deceived." And this is kind of where I want to look at this, is that we can be deceived. How many times in the scripture does it say, "Do not be deceived"? Bad company corrupts good morals. Okay? Who you hang around is important. You got that? It's not that we don't go out into the world and we're in lost people, but when that is where we spend 90% of our time is with people that are corrupt, you're not going to influence them. They are going to influence you. You will have to compromise who you are and what you believe to associate and have a close relationship with anyone that is not a child of God. Do you understand that? So, the problem is we don't know we're deceived. Because if you're deceived, then you don't know you're deceived. If you knew you're deceived, then you wouldn't be deceived, right? So, you don't know that you're deceived. So, how do you know if you're being deceived? There's only one way. The Holy Spirit lives within you, and the Holy Spirit uses Scripture. If you don't read Scripture, and you don't know Scripture, Scripture's not written upon your heart, you've already been deceived. So many people are living their lives thinking they're children of God, and even those that are children of God, they reach a point of being so secure in their relationship, in their fellowship with Christ, that they've been deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Isn't that something? And then when the family of God doesn't want to get together and learn together, and they don't want to get together and fellowship together, and they don't want to get together and praise God together, but yet you let something in the world and they're invited to do something in the world, boy, they'll drop that fellowship and that worship with God, because that's more important. Because what you do obviously shows what's more important in your life. That's how people that are watching you understand and know if there's something different about you, is because of what's important to you. When we have people to come and visit us, and it's time for church, I don't call Brian up and say, "Brian, I've got somebody coming to spend the weekend with us. Would you fill in the pulpit for me? Because we're going to stay home and fellowship with them." No, we tell these folks that we're going to church. You're invited to go with us. Or you can stay here and we'll be back in just a moment. Well, that sounds harsh. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because your worship should be mean that much to you, that it alters your life instead of what you want to do altering your life. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And when you hang around folks that are contrary to the Word of God, and that is your social network, you are being influenced and your witness is being compromised. You are not influencing them. They are influencing you. And that's the deception. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, 3 through 6. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned and do not have love, it profits me nothing. Again, just backing up what I say, I hope you're checking out what people are telling you, especially when it comes to spiritual matters. See, the problem is we become so complacent that we think that somebody that stands up here in the pulpit knows about God and who God is. Did you know that the pastor has no advantage over you in knowing things of God? See, if we all have the Holy Spirit in our lives and we all have the same desire to learn righteousness and live righteously, then that same Holy Spirit will teach you what he's taught the pastor or your Sunday school teacher. See, the problem is we want to be spoon-fed. We're babies. Babies don't want to give up the bottle. Have you noticed that? And y'all got young children on the bottle? How hard was it to get rid of the bottle? How hard was it to get rid of the pacifier? How hard was it to get them to make them do their own thing? Huh? Spiritual babies. That's the worst thing that can happen to you, is to remain a spiritual baby where you have to be spoon-fed. Huh? Just like that song. Every one of you in here should have caught that those words are not correct. And if you didn't catch them, you need to go home this week and say, God, teach me something, because I obviously am missing it. Because you are missing it. You have been deceived. If things can be said and you sit there and just joyously go along with it, you have been deceived. The Holy Spirit, the first thing the Holy Spirit said to me was, that's wrong. Those words aren't correct. I better know them, not them know me. And when we sit here and we allow things like that to be done, your life, you're in trouble. I don't know how to warn you any other than that. You are in trouble. And if you did not catch that, you're in trouble. Because there's other things you're being deceived about. I'm not trying to be ugly up here. I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to warn you, because Satan is out to devour you like he would a prey. And he is going to mess up and destroy your life. And the worst deception is you think you're okay with God and you're not. And you stand before him and he says, depart from me. I never knew you. That's not what I want for your life. You can't make that decision whether you know him or not. He has to tell you. But it goes in here that I can do all these religious and I can do all these good things that humanity thinks is good. But if I don't have love, Jesus Christ said, I'm love. Love is a person. The type of love is an agape love. A love that is made based upon righteousness and not feelings. So you can go out there and you can do all of those things. Be so helpful. And be lost. See, it's a character. It's one of the most important fruits of the Spirit. Of all the fruits of the Spirit, what does it say is the most important one? Love. An agape love. Not a love where you have a fuzzy feeling about somebody, but a righteous love that says, I'm going to love them anyway, regardless of what they do to me. You can't hurt me, because that's how God loved us. Oh, we want to receive that kind of love, but how willing are we to give that kind of love? See, when you've truly received that kind of love, you'll understand how easy it is, or become easier as you grow in the Spirit to give that love, that kind of love. Giving out a love that you expect nothing else in return. Not expecting anything in return. Wow, what a way to live our life. You're talking about joyous and not being bound by the fact that somebody has to tell me back that they love me for me to love them. What a freedom. See, this is about freedom. And what he's freeing us from is not only the bondage of sin, but also those things that are loaded onto that. You know, where, well, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. And we start keeping tabs. Worst thing you can do in a marriage, the greatest test of this is your marriage. Start keeping tabs. Who does what? Huh? Your marriage is 100% in both directions, or you've been deceived and your marriage is in trouble and you better get on your knees. See, it doesn't matter what the spouse does back. It matters what you, who you are. God calls us to be who we are, not to respond to what we experience. To be steadfast, immovable in love. Listen to this. Love is patient. As a pastor, sometimes it's hard to be patient. When enough spiritual truth has been shed to the congregation and the congregation doesn't receive it, they don't act upon it, the pastor has to then say, you know, I have to then ask God about, have I done what I'm supposed to do? Have I shared it? Have I shared it in love and showed my concerns? Because then it's up to you what you do with it. But pastors have to be patient with their congregation. We went to one church and a pastor was, he said, you guys are stupid. He used a word. He said, what is wrong with y'all? Y'all dumb? He says, I have made this so clear and you all just don't get it. You are the dumbest people in the pulpit. And then one businessman, he threw his clipboard across the room. See, he wasn't loving his congregation. My fear is in the patient part. If I'm true telling you what God has laid upon my heart this week to tell you, and you don't take it to heart, and you're not applying it to your lives, then I fear for you what God may have to do to you to get you to understand this truth. Heart attack, cancer, house burned down. I don't know. These are all things that God uses to get us our attention. No, God don't do that. You got the wrong God. God would never put that on your life. If you're a child of God and you're not obedient, don't you think for one moment God will not do that. If your children become more important to you than your worship, God will take your children away. Yes, he's done that before. But I'm telling you, you better fear God enough to understand this is how God works. You start putting things before him, you will never understand. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's do the whole verse. And then these things will be added unto you. See, we just think they're going to be added to us. Without putting him first and without seeking his righteousness, then we think there's this God out there that just give us all these blessings and things that we want. That God doesn't exist. That God's a lie. That God's a myth. That God's an idol. He wrote it in there because if you don't do it this way, you're not going to get it. Love is kind. Wow. Be kind. Be kind. Huh? Just because you feel bad doesn't give you a reason to not be kind. It's not jealous. Huh? You know, jealousy will destroy a marriage. Jealousy will destroy friendship. Jealousy will destroy you. Love does not brag. Don't need to brag. If you are secure in who you are, you don't need to. You know why you brag? You know why people brag? Because they're insecure. They don't know who they are. What they do gives them self-worth instead of who they are. See, as a child of God, that's the only reason you need to be proud of who you, of what you are and who you are, is that you're a child of the King. An heir to the throne. Set up in heavenly places. A hope for eternity. Because of who you are. Not how good you are at something. So many people, and I used to play golf with a guy. And if he had a good golf game, he was cheerful and happy and went home and treated his family good. Talked to his wife one time, and she said, you know, I hope he's playing golf, and I hope he played well, because if he doesn't, he comes home, he's angry, and we can't even talk to him. And so if he played golf good, he was a good person. If he didn't play golf, then he was horrible to be around. His whole essence in life was how good he played golf. My whole essence in life is how obedient I am to God. And if your obedience to him does not matter, you don't have what God says you must have. See, you got to take it to 1 John. It says that you say you love me, but I call you a liar because you don't keep my commandments. It's not arrogant. Love's not arrogant. You can't be a child of God and be arrogant. And see these preachers on TV that are arrogant about what they're doing for God. Well, we just read about, aren't we supposed to be the clay? Aren't we his workmanship for his good pleasure? I mean, if you just take it back to Scripture, it clarifies all this deception that's out there. But if you don't take it to Scripture and you just take it to what you want it to believe or what you think it believes or your opinion, I hate it when someone says, this is my opinion, and it has to do with spiritual matters. That's deception. You have been deceived if you have that in your repertoire. Okay? Huh? There's no opinions with God. And your opinion doesn't matter. Okay? No one needs your opinion about God. You need to say, thus saith the Lord, and give them Scripture. Okay? It's not arrogant. Okay? You only know in part. There's not a preacher out there, I don't care how many titles he's got behind his name, Dr. So-and-so with a master and all this junk and divinity. That means nothing to God. Do you understand me? I'm probably going to get letters on this one because I think our sermons are out there now. Preacher, I'm telling you, if you have all that junk behind your name, you've been deceived. It gives you nothing in the kingdom of God. Nothing. Boy, people don't like that because they're arrogant on what they've accomplished through man's institutions instead of humbled by the revelation of God. We have been deceived. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Wow, put me on TV. You know, that's why our church is lacking. That's why we're not full. I'm not on TV. Well, I need to be on TV. That's why. Next business meeting, not too many of y'all show up for business meetings. And you ought to have seen what they voted in for me. We're tripling my salary this year. Man, you guys are missing. I mean, we can do whatever we want. not about me. And God strike me dead the day that I don't present him and his church as holy. I would rather die than stand up here and not present him as holy. You gotta come, you gotta understand where I'm coming from. It's about him. Not another seek his own. It's not provoked. Does not take to account wrong suffered. See, most preachers use this for wedding counseling. And no, this is talking about living as a child of God. This is about the character that God expects us to have in our relationship to everyone. It's just our marriages will test this. The marriage is the battleground for this. Does not take into account wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Matter of fact, there's an unrest in our souls with unrighteousness. If your soul is not unrest at what's going on in our nation, in our world today, then I fear that you've been deceived. If what's going on doesn't bother you, the woman domination, I don't know if you all talked about it in your Sunday school class or not, but we talked about it in ours because it's important. What the king did was what the king needed to do. He summoned his queen, and his queen said, no. A rebellion. A woman rebellion. And that's what we're seeing in our world today is woman rebellion. God made man for himself. God made the woman for the man. And he, because of the sin in the garden, put the authority of the man over the woman. And in our world today, in every movie and everything that you see is contrary to God's word. I didn't write this. God clearly says that God is the head of Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, and man is head of woman. That's how God designed it. It's not, I like you more or I like you less. It's God's standard of how he made it. All the movies, the woman's the hero. The woman's taking on, and I mean, here's a woman beating up men that four times her weight. That doesn't happen in the real world, folks. But it's the perception, you see, that we're seeing. And women are not truly happy. Sorry about that. Women are not truly happy. I see it every day in the profession I'm in. When they're trying to be professionals, and yet they have children at home, and you could see just that they want to be home, but yet they're here. So they're not focused on their responsibilities, and they're not focused at home. Somebody else is raising the kids. It's not God's plan. I didn't write this. Don't get mad at me. That's the unrighteousness in our world that we should not like. But rejoices with the truth. Are you all rejoicing right now? I want to know, are you rejoicing? Are you rejoicing? Or do you hate what you're hearing? Are you rejoicing? It says here, if you're a child of God, are you rejoicing? Y'all don't look like you're rejoicing. Get a smile on that face. My goodness gracious. Get a smile. You're supposed to be rejoicing with truth. How come we don't rejoice with truth? Tell me why. Because we don't really want it, do we? We don't really want it, do we? A child of God rejoices because the truth is what sets us free. The truth is what we bank our lives upon. And the more we apply truth, the more freedom we have. The more joy we have. The more comfort we have. It's only through the truth that we come to know these things. We have to make that decision in our life that we are going to base it upon truth, regardless of what it sounds like, regardless of what the world thinks. There's not going to be this new revelation in this world where everyone comes back to the truth of God. You're not going to see America. You're not going to see the people in America get on their knees and confess their sins. That's not going to happen. You can't. There's going to be a deception, and there's going to be a godliness where they're going to persecute the truth, thinking they're doing something good for God. And that comes straight from His Word as a warning in the day that we live. People that just heard everything that I said, they're going to be totally upset with what I said. But I didn't say it. Look in the Word of God and read it. I'm just telling you, my responsibility up here is not to define this for you, but to tell you what it says. Your responsibility is to go and see what I say, to see if it's true. So out there, if you're listening to this, pick up God's Word and see if it's true instead of what you think. Because Satan wants to destroy you. There is a battle for your soul. And only God's Word can deliver your soul. It bears all things. Wow. It believes all things. Now again, you have to understand and read the passage before that about the truth thing. Because the only thing you believe is what's true. Okay? You won't believe what is false. It hopes all things. Is that what not faith is? Huh? Is that what it says? That we have hope in things that we've not seen and conviction. Huh? Hebrews 11:1. I mean, isn't that what it says? Endures all things. You see, it's this kind of love that allows a marriage to endure conflict. The reason you have problems in your marriage is because one of y'all or both of y'all are selfish and self-seeking. It doesn't work until each one of you put on the characters and the fruits of the Spirit in your life that your marriage is anything. Men are very selfish people. We're very selfish. But we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to endure. We're supposed to endure the tough times. We're supposed to endure the tough times with truth, with help from the Holy Spirit in our lives. Don't be selfish. Sometimes it's amazing how when we're dating, you know, these women will come up and they'll do anything. They'll go to all your places and your fishing and bowling and golfing and all this stuff. Man, they just, and then you get married and like, gotcha. Now it's going to be my way. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be true. Sometimes men, you got to do what they want to do. Sometimes you need to seek their own good. And if they're seeking your own good, guess what? You got a marriage that's amazing. When each one of you are seeking the other's good. Believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things, and love never fails. Wow, I just want to keep on going. This is really good. Y'all don't care if we go to 1 o'clock, do you? Are y'all still rejoicing and y'all still happy? Sure, you're going to shake your head now because I put you on the spot. But down there, you're going, I hope he shuts up soon. I'm not dumb. This is so good. Trust me, folks, there's a deception going on. And it happens like a slow decay of our teeth. And if we're not checking and we're not going to the dentist periodically and they're not taking x-rays, you're not going to know that there's a cavity until it's too late. And I'm telling you that the Word of God is like that in our lives. It's checking us. It's seeing where we're at so that when, so to prevent these decays in our life that come upon us and we don't know it. That's why he wrote it. It's so that we would know. So that we would know. So that we would know. And so that he would not say, depart from me.